Well, my name is Juliana Nicolation with the Oklahoma State University Library. Today is Thursday, June 19th, 2008, and I'm in Ardmore, Oklahoma, interviewing Mazola McPherson. This interview is being conducted as part of the inductees of the Oklahoma Women's Hall of Fame Oral History Project. Mazola McPherson was inducted into the Oklahoma Women's Hall of Fame in 1997. Thank you for joining us today. Well, let's begin by learning a little more about you. Take us back to where you grew up in your early life.
I was born in Bluff, Oklahoma. You probably haven't ever heard of Bluff.
I have not. Tell me about Bluff.
Bluff is down close to Hugo. It's, let's see, southwest. We are west of Bluff.
Okay.
Go 70 highway to Hugo. And then when you get to Hugo, you take a little exit from Hugo and go about 18 miles southwest of Hugo. And you find Bluff, Oklahoma. B-L-U-F-F. Hasn't been on the map too long. I don't know what they called it when I was growing up. But anyway, my mother was Daisy Turner.
Okay.
And my father was Calvin Holman. Now this sounds funny, but my mother married my daddy Holman, and she had two children. Then my daddy died. She remarried, started another family. So she turned out to be a Turner instead of a Holman. So all of my brothers and sisters are half.
Wow.
I didn't have but one whole brother, and I never did see him. He was born before me, and he passed away before I was born as a baby. So I grew up to be about 7 years with my mother, and then my daddy had passed away. I had an aunt who could not have children or didn't have children, and she decided that since mother was married again and having another family, she would take me. So my aunt reared me. Her name was Pearl Ray. And she and her husband was getting along fine, I guess, when she decided to take me. But then, soon afterwards, they separated. And she came to Ardmore because this is where her daddy lived, my grandfather. And she decided to come here and live. Well, she had me hanging back with my mother and needing a place to stay, so she brought me to Ardmore. I came here in 1929. It's a bad snowy day in the wintertime. I haven't seen anything like it since in Ardmore. And I've been here since. We live, about three different places across the track. And she worked as a, just worked for people out in this area. So she finally got a really good job for a really wealthy family and moved us to live in their servant quarters up over the garage. And this is where I really spent most of my high school, was living in this area, going to school and helping my aunt with her chores, which was working for the Smith family. And of course, this is where I learned a lot of my knowing how to keep house, answer telephone, and linens do very well with all linen tablecloths and napkins. Take care of refined things, polished silver, brass, everything that was good and pretty, because these people had everything. They had a beautiful home, old dining room, drawing room, upstairs with bedrooms and bathrooms, just a lot of work. They had a man at one time who did most of the cleaning, but when I came along, I was doing most of the job, so I really didn't like that very well. So my aunt, who was a cook, started teaching me to cook because I was pretty nosy anyway, and I wanted to learn. So she was a really fine cook. But then I learned most of her traits and decided finally to get married to this guy over here. And by the way, we will be married 70 years the 20th of next month.
Wow.
And after we got married, times was really hard then. We were working for nothing. He could not find a job, and I was doing a cake and making a ham or doing something like that for people that would come and get it. But finally I grew into really liking to cook and decided that this was what I wanted to do. So I started in our home just baking cakes and pies and things and people coming for them. Then that got me into their house. They started wanting me to come to do meals at their house. So one day, one of my customers, Miss Albert Reeson, who was the daughter of John Reeson, who owned the Daily Ordinary, her maid was sick. Oh, she had the flu. And she could not come to fix that lunch on this particular Sunday. And Mrs. Reeson called me and asked me if I could give her a few days to come out and cook a meal. And this particular weekend coming up, she didn't know whether her lady would be well enough to come cook Sunday dinner, so she wanted me to come and do their dinner. So they had two boys and one girl. And of course, they always had their company on Sunday. And it was a pretty big thing. So I accepted. I told her, you know, I didn't. She asked me if I couldn't do a dinner. I wasn't sure I could do it. So she said, well, she knew I could do it. And I needed to put in a catering service. Well, I didn't even know what the word catering meant then. So I said, I told her I didn't know what the word meant. So she told me she would look it up, find out, and let me know what it meant. So she came up with a definition, which was from Webster. And I started from that day fixing her meal, the catering service. And before I knew it, she put an ad in the Armwright and let it run a week. And before I knew it, I was so busy, I couldn't do all the work. And he never could cook or do, but he started trying to help me as best he could. I have to give him credit for that. And he was desirous of me learning because it was pretty good money. So I did the catering for about 10 years, and it had just gotten to be a big thing. The only one in Ardmore, really. I was going to all the towns like Duncan, Medill, Mayreda, Ringland, all the area towns. Got to Oklahoma City, to Atlanta, Georgia, Duncan. Just pretty well busy. So we bought a station wagon, and I had a sign made, put on, and I was just going that day, and the customers decided that I needed a place where they could come and eat. I thought, well, I couldn't be bothered with that. But in the meantime, I was needing a place to do my catering because I was just messing my house up, just terrible.
You were just using your kitchen?
My kitchen at home, cooking the food and they carrying it out. So I started looking. And I found where the gourmet, where Bud Rose is.
No.
Well, Bud Rose is the club up on the
1606 McGlish.
If you go to the highway and go down that way, it's a white with a, well, it's a little aqua, it's real deep pink and green building. On this side over here.
Okay.
And
that's the side of the gourmet?
That was the gourmet. So I called the lady that owned the gourmet. I thought that would be a good location for me. And I asked to buy the building. So she said they wouldn't want to sell the building because it was Her little daughter, she had a little daughter that was, she had health problems, and that was her kind of little pet place. She wanted to keep it for her little building.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't think they wanted to sell it, but she went home and talked to her husband about it. In a few days, they called me, and they said they would let me have it if I wouldn't sell liquor. And there's a few ifs in there. So they were getting on in age, and I said, well, I would abide by the rule. So in 1962, we purchased that building. And started the catering service and the restaurant. I used that kitchen for both and built up a real big restaurant, lots of people, and had a real thriving business. And
what did it look like inside?
Mostly homey. I had carpet and the chairs were lighter wood than that, but then they had white. It was just like your home dining room. They still have white leather up there. But at one time I had cloth in the back of the chair as in the seat. And it was just real fancy for Ardmore. It was the fanciest thing we had. And it really went over big.
And how big was the kitchen?
It was 18 inches one way and 12 in one area when I first went there. But I had to enlarge it and make another kitchen So we had that one. And then I put on a big kitchen. I think it's 34 by something, I don't remember. And added a dining room that would seat 75 more people. So we've worked from 75 till 98 when I left. All those years, 36 I believe it was, there. And it was all we could do to keep up with it. It was just very rewarding.
Was it lunch and dinner service?
Yes, finally we had, we started out lunch and dinner. Finally we had to drop dinner because I had so much.
How many employees did you have?
How many what?
Employees did you have?
The most I had was 14.
Wow.
And I did that
for... How many cooks?
I just had one cook.
Just one cook? Who was that?
Me.
Wow.
I had some cook helpers who were people that could do them. When I got through with them, they do everything. I taught them to do what I could do, so it made it a little easier for me.
Now, when you first opened, Ardmore was segregated?
Yes.
And how did that work with the restaurant?
Well, you would think it would not work, but I had very wealthy, good people, and they just loved it and treated me like I was their little maid. And the first night we opened, it was we were supposed to open on Saturday. I can't remember what it was, a holiday or whether somebody died, something happened. And I couldn't open that day, and it had to be the next day, which was a Sunday evening. We had our grand open, and that particular night, one of the men that he's dead now came in, carpeted floors, and had beautiful chandeliers, and just a pretty dining room. And he just said that Ardmore was to be blessed to have Missoula. And he had everybody to stand up and give me
applause.
Yeah. And that made me feel real good, like I hadn't done something I shouldn't. And it just went on and on, made good salaries and everything. And we were there for 36 years. And finally I began to kind of break down and get a little tired, because at one time I was doing all the cooking. And I was working really, really hard. And decided to retire. So in 1994, we started trying to get rid of it. And we had first sold it to the Ledbetters. Do you know them?
No, ma'am.
Well, anyway, they were out at this restaurant place up here on the Rockford Road. Are you not right?
I am not.
Oh, well. What was that place called? It's there now, but it's not a restaurant.
Okay.
But they had supposed to be the fine restaurant they built after me. And they came in with all kinds of things, and it didn't work. So they had to give it up. And they came down and supposedly bought mine, a doctor here in Ardmore, was not now here, but was supposed to bought it for them. Well, it didn't work out for them. And I always, when I sold it, I would get a down payment. And they didn't give it back when they didn't. So that started me moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the next person that we sold it to was is from Bulgaria.
Hmm.
And he did Italian. And he had pretty good food. And he had worked up a good business, but he came. He got behind with his rent. And I believe it was 3 months that he was, the contract said. But anyway, I had to give it up. And I had his down payment, didn't give it back. And then we had a Mexican come along.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought it and was doing really good, paying his bills on time and everything. And one day we came home and the key was in the mailbox, wasn't it? I believe the key was in the mailbox. And a note that said that he was gone.
Huh.
So he just left and took all of my flat silver. And I had just bought over $500 worth of new stuff. And I never did get to use it. So he took it. And I said, well, this is it. I'm through with trying to sell it. I'm just going back to work. So I went back up there in 98. And I worked with one of my cooks, the one who is at Two Frogs now, Russell. And I tried to make him buy the restaurant, but he didn't want the responsibility. So he went and hired out and got a job, so I didn't feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold it to, who did we sell it to? After this Mexican place. And the Mexican was there, and he just left. I went back and worked a while, and then we sold it to Budrow. And Budrow's been there since 2001, and he's about to get it paid for. So I guess it's gone.
What were the popular foods you made?
Turkey and dressing,
mm-hmm.
good roast beef, and mashed potatoes. And I have a special recipe that I did with corn. And I had a special one, squash casserole. And all of my food was just good home eating. And I made my home rolls. We didn't have any bread other than what I made. And that was a buffet.
Mm.
And then on Sunday we had a special buffet. I would have bring a roast of lamb or whole salmon. And we used to have a good, I think we served a whole. Had codfish.
Is she speaking loud enough?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the fish for sauce. But anyway, I would have a special one entree that was special every Sunday. But roast beef and turkey was every Sunday, regular. Fried chicken was a special Sunday. But we had roast beef and turkey dressing and fried chicken.
What's your favorite recipe? Out of all of the recipes that are in your head, what's your favorite recipe?
I guess my squash. Because mm-hmm. I don't care about any of them because I've made them so much. I don't even cook them anymore. Uh-huh. But whatever I made was special to them because they did not have cooks. And it just turned out to be Ardmore's. It has the record of being Ardmore's best restaurant. And when I closed up, it just had a fit. It came crying. You can't do this. We can't have you leave. It was really sad. But I was ready to go. And I just came on home.
Well, let's back up just a little bit. How did running for city council come about?
Well, we have four children.
Okay.
And I had always been very active with the school with any of their activities. And I got to be known through the school, PTA and that sort of thing. And I got interested in politics, and I was not even thinking about running for anything. It never crossed my mind. But Mr. Slaughter, I don't know what the company that he had, but he had a company and he hired people that had to do with electricity. But anyway, he came to me one day and asked me about running for city council. And I said, oh Lord, I don't want to run for city council. What, I can't handle that, what could I do? So he sat down and we had a little visit and he thought it would be good for my business. Well, that pulled my leg. So I said, well, I don't have any money to do anything like that. He said, don't worry about the money. He said, if you just would say you do it, he would take care of the money. And sure enough, I had to give people back their money. It just came so much. So I decided to take him up on it. And got the cards and got everything going. I never had to spend a dime. Then mail started coming to the house to help, and it just started piling up. And after the election, I had to return the people's money.
Wow.
And I got in there. We had a minister in there that I think he was prejudiced. And then we had another man that had been on there for ages. And he kind of thought he owned the place. And I got on his case. And of course we didn't ever fall out, but kind of kept him walking straight. Kind of wind up a few things down there. From that on, it just went well. I didn't have any problems. A time, I think it was one time, someone approached me, kind of in a bad way, just, it was a lady. You remember that? What did that lady say? She asked me, who did I think I was, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Trying to be on the council.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember my name. In fact, I just kind of put those things out of my mind in a way.
Well, was it tough? I mean, because not only were you, you know, the first African American, but you were the first woman in right. that role. I mean, was that tough dealing with, was there a good old boys club in place?
Well, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always been able to stand my ground. And I had to learn to do so because I had the restroom. Had I not had the restroom, I might have had a lot of problems. But I was very well known through the restroom and respected. And I think that helped me a lot from being having to be the good old boy.
Mm-hmm. Because now you were the influential business owner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I just didn't have any problems.
Well, how'd the whole mayor thing come about?
The mayor? Well, after I was on the council, our city has a city manager and four ward councilmen and one at large.
She's in a group.
And when you're on the council, when you're on the council, there are the four wards and the one at large makes five. And of course, the mayor is elected by the council members. So they have to.
I heard the phone ring, but I couldn't get to
it. Well, they have to vote again. In other words, the city council votes in the mayor.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how they decided.
Make sure you sit down. I'm trying to get out of
this. Have me mayor, but I was on the council. The second time, then I became mayor on the third round.
The gang room meeting.
And there was only one on the council that I thought might have wanted me to be mayor.
Mm-hmm.
That was a preacher.
No, but they said mm-hmm.
I stayed on his case, so he finally came in to be. And I didn't have any problem. They were all men. And the last time I ran, it was five people. I was the only woman and four men. And I came in strong and beat everybody out. So
that says something.
Yeah, it was kind of shaky there for a while. I felt like I wasn't going to make it the last go around, but I didn't have any problem. Can you get it?
Don't worry. I'm trying to stretch out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought she was trying to get up. But anyway, I was thinking night here at home. I'd get sick, man. I think I wasn't going to make it. But I came out. I think it was only one that didn't vote for me.
Really? Why didn't you vote for yourself?
I don't know whether we could.
I
might have voted for myself. I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
So it just got to be kind of a joke to me.
Yeah.
But anyway,
please.
I had roses all over the house. People sent me. It just was was easy going. But I was thinking it wasn't going to be.
Yeah.
But it didn't turn. It turned out just easy.
Do you have a favorite memory from your time in public office?
Well, Not really.
Not really?
Well, I guess my really favorite memory was when I went off, when I left. I got the roses that was standing. I felt like they were as tall as me, but they weren't. They were in a vase. And when they stood up by me, I got so many flowers and cards and letters and notes and money and stuff. That was quite something for me. Because, you know, I didn't think they would have thought that much about me. But I gained a lot of friends, and they still are. They still are really good friends. They cash together and do for us all the time. And I've been sick with the arthritis. And I've had the flu. In fact, I think I'm just getting over the flu. And when I first came down sick, every day this house just full of your folk. They've come in, they bought food, and they've just done everything. And they call every morning, check, see how I'm doing. They just treat me really great.
What does Ardmore mean to you?
Everything. It's my home. It's my life. My love. It means everything to me. This has been great for me. And I'm just thankful to have been brought to Ardmore. And I'd like to see a lot of things happen here that I don't see happening. But, you know, it's kind of hard to get on the other side of the fence and get to raising sand and changing people's minds, trying to. So I just think, well, as long as I'm being treated right, people are nice to me, I'll just have to forget about it. But it almost means it's meant all to me. Because had I not gotten to Ardmore, I don't feel like I would have been able to gain the respect of people as I have. And I certainly couldn't have done what I've done. And I've just been so thankful that the people accepted me as they did, because they could have not accepted me. So I'm just a little black gal running around.
That have done big, huge things.
Yes, yes.
All here at Ardmore.
I even went to Washington when I wasn't the mayor. But I don't remember years, but sometimes I think it was in 76, but I'm not sure. I went to when Washington, Carter was president. I was sitting in the dining room. We were in the other house. We used to live across the track. And the mail came, and I just went, I'd go out and get the mail. And there was an invitation for me to come to Washington, D.C. I don't remember the date, but I have the picture and everything. And represent Ardmore in a conference on family life. And President Carter had a White House on different things. And I was selected to go. And Governor Nye, who who was a real good friend of mine. I knew him very well.
Mm-hmm.
When he was up there, when he was governor, had made it possible for me to go. And I said, well, I can't afford to go to Washington. They didn't send me any money. And he said, don't worry about it. The money was coming if I'd say yes. So I said yes, and then pretty soon I had a check in the mail. And they paid for all of it. I got to see Carter and have lunch with Ms. Carter.
Wow.
All the things I never would have gotten to see and do that had I not been, you know, on the city council. That's the way I got to meet the Nyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have lots of good thoughts on it.
You were appointed to the Commission on the Status of Women. Do you remember that?
Right.
And I believe you were the chair?
I was,
were
yeah,
you the chair the
right,
first year?
Right.
What was that like? What did you guys do as a body?
Well, then, as a body, we tried to have an open ear to the things that went on in your city that concerned women.
Mm-hmm.
And all the political things that they did and just how they handled themselves just in general life. So we met once a month and reported on women that were active in the community and doing things that should be. And we kept up with their legislation and what they were doing, and we would tune in on things that they had coming up, like maybe they were going to vote on childbirth or whatever. We sent them a letter ahead of time stating, you know, how we felt about it. Anything that we felt that they weren't doing right, we'd send them, try to keep them,
mm-hmm,
not forgetting about us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Pioneer Women. We had a lady of the year, I believe it was. But anyway, we would select, I believe it was lady of the year. I'm not thinking. But anyway, every year we'd select women in our area that was doing things, and we try to bring their name forward. And
mm-hmm,
I believe we did have a little book every year that we'd make with them that had their lives, and we would vote on them. And finally, be late of the year, and they would have a big banquet or something for them. And we were interested in children.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see what the legislature was doing or could do for children. But it was very, very wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But tried to not get on their nerve, but be helpful as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. And in the end, I was appointed Hall of Fame or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the year our daughter died.
In 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't attend the ceremony.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally came home. I was in Washington. that time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally got home, I went to Oklahoma City thinking that they would give me the honor.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want to do it until I could get to Stillwater.
Right.
So I went over there and received it.
And who presented it to you in Stillwater, do you remember?
You know, I thought I'd never forget that lady's name, but I do have a picture and stuff. I have a notebook.
Okay.
Tarrington.
Claudia Tarrington.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I believe that was the lady. But anyway, it was a nice life to live, being on the status of women.
Mm-hmm.
I still get mail from women who was on the committee or something. But I don't drive on the highway anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of fizzle out on things. And I don't know that I'll try to get back because I'm 87 now. It's just hard for me to get out there driving and doing. And he's not able to do it either. So
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just going to kind of lay back and watch the others now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you had any advice for the others now, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to be themselves and put God first in their life. And try to find something that they were really interested in, regardless of what it is. If it was cleaning toilet stools, but be the best. Do it the best that they could do, and make the best of something. Because God gave all of us a talent, and everybody, and there's no need to just live around and not have a good job and not make a mark. Everyone's got talent, something that they can do
mm-hmm.
to make their life really better. And there's no need to blame anybody for anything. Just get out there and get ready and do something yourself. That's been my, since I was little, I can remember. I can always find something. Keep plugging the nails in, it'll butt out eventually. And I still feel like there's something there.
Mm-hmm. And is family very important in your life?
Very.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very nice family. We have 3 children living. We had 4. We lost our oldest daughter. And a husband who's pretty good when he wants to be. And a good life. It's just, we have a very good neighborhood. And just be happy. That's all you can ask for.
Do you have, through all of your years, your 80 plus years,
mm-hmm.
do you have that favorite story that rises above all the other stories that you like to tell or that you like to remember?
Mine is the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I haven't got any this. Special story, because if I look back, this is all on one sheet. It's just kind of one thing after another, one thing brings on another kind of thing. So, I guess the most shocking thing was when I was elected to the city council. It wasn't something that I wanted to do or I had aspired to. I just hadn't thought about it. It was a great surprise. I guess that would be the most.
Well, when history is written about you, how would you like for it to remember you? What would you like for history to say about you?
Oh, that I was kind and very considerate of mankind, all people. Try to learn something about them because everybody has something to offer. And respect. I should respect everybody. And I was loving, and I believe that if one would put God first in their life, their life would be wonderful and different, and they'd have a good life. And I would encourage all young people to have a family. Because your children are very important. Since we've gotten older, I just live for night because my daughter, she calls us every night. And one of them shows up right here every day, so we just really, family is really important.
How many grandchildren?
I've got 10. We've got 10 grandchildren and 11
great-grandchildren. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, we've got more great-grandchildren than we have grandchildren. They're coming along. We had a grandson. Yeah, a grandson to finish college this year. Two has got the master's degree already, and my oldest daughter that died had a master's, and the girl that's living has a master's. The boys didn't get a master's degree, but family is really important, most important.
Well, is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked you today? Anything you'd like to tell us? Okay. Well, that sounds good. I'd like to thank you for giving us just a little glimpse into your life, because you've done so many great things, but yes. I appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us.
Well, it's my pleasure.